T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Cheddar Camera and John Ritchie, 94 WIP, 3-0 Birds. We'll be talking to Marcus Epps coming up shortly. He'll join us in studio. This segment right now is sponsored by On Deck. Small business loans. Nothing to worry about. Nothing at all. I mean, you know, special teams haven't been so good. Lions game, got a little dicey there at the end, but hey, 3-0. Soon to be 17-0. And then what would that be then, John? A bye and then 3 games. 20-0. 20-0 this year for the Birds, we'll say. Now, something will probably get in the way, but it is amazing. The Eagles are favorite. If you missed it, the Eagles, as of right now, are favorite for all remaining regular season games, which is
only team in the NFL.
Yeah. That's amazing. All right, Marcus Epps, shortly. Let's go to the phones right now, talk to Mike. Mike, you're on WIP.
Good afternoon, fellas. How are you?
Really, really great, Mike.
I tell you, it is so nice to hear everybody starting to finally come around and see what I've been talking about for the last few weeks. This team is a juggernaut, okay? The definition of a juggernaut is a huge and powerful, overwhelming force that cannot be stopped. And everybody needs to just embrace it.
Yeah, they look great, man.
Listen,
juggernaut,
maybe,
huh?
And look, and they, John, there's, it's, they check the box in every single category, from the coaching, from the offense, the defense, the players. It's all there. And I'm just glad everybody's starting to see it. And but you know what, John, what I wanted to say? There is one thing I want to just bring up, and I'm glad you brought up the running backs, because not to get a little controversial here, but I think we're seeing the end of Miles Sanders in the Eagles uniform here. He just doesn't fit this team. And it's, we can get so much more out of other players. He's in the contract year. They're not going to pay him because Jalen's going to get paid. So you could kiss Miles goodbye. Let me ask you this. Do you think it is a good idea trading him while we still can and maybe bring in like a Kareem Hunt, bring in like a battering ram, something that could only get us a little bit better?
Listen, I'd be surprised if they do that right now. Breaking that. Listen, I think Miles is 50-50 for next season because Jalen's contract's going to change things. If you ask me, who would I rather they keep, Kaiser White or Miles Sanders? I think Kaiser White's a better player. Like, all that's to be determined on how they want to do that financially. But I don't foresee them breaking up sort of the flow right now with this offense this season. I would be very surprised to see that occur. All right, Mike, give me a great answer here. Who or what is underappreciated?
This guy has been my favorite player since he was a rookie in this league. We never talked about him enough. Avonte Maddox.
He's good, man. He's good, and he is underappreciated. I think the tide is starting to turn, John, where people are starting to get it, that he's a really good slot corner. And that tackle he made the other day was really cool at the goal line.
Yeah,
keep that dude out of the end zone. But I agree, historically.
The interception against the Vikings was really special.
Great play. All right, let's talk more Eagles football. Joining us in studio right now, we talked to him in training camp. He's a starter in the NFL. His squad is 3-0. His defense has played two exceptional games in a row. And we welcome here into the WIP studio, Tasty Cake Studio, from the Philadelphia Eagles, Marcus Epps. Marcus, how are you, pal?
I'm doing good. How you guys doing?
Good, man. Marcus, congratulations on the start. 3-0 has got to feel great.
Yeah, it feels awesome. Feels awesome, most definitely.
I mean, throttling fools out there. I'm just going to call it like it is. Last two games, I mean, really.
Yeah, we're playing good football right now. So, you know, we feel pretty good about where we're at and where we're headed. We just got to keep coming to work every day and, you know, keep putting in the time to keep getting 1% better every day.
Getting to know Marcus Epps here. Marcus will be with us for the next 45 minutes. We'll get some phone calls with Marcus as we move through the hour. Marcus, let's talk about you and your story because it's fascinating. I was looking into it last night. Walk on in college, drafted in the NFL, but cut by the first team that, you know, you played for, picked up by the Eagles in 2019. What is it like for you now in your fourth year? I mean, you are a starter in the National Football League, yet you are a walk-on in college football. What has that journey been like for you, and how special does it feel for you to be a starter?
Yeah, it hasn't always been easy, but one thing about me is I've always stayed true to myself, always stayed true to the grind, always believed in myself, had that confidence in myself, and, you know, always just kept pushing, whether there was highs or lows, I just always kept pushing, and, you know, that's how I'm always going to be no matter, you know, even now that I'm a starter, I'm always just pushing to keep getting better, never getting complacent or comfortable.
How much better are you right now than you were as a player in 2019?
Oh, I mean, it's night and day. I mean, every year I feel like I've gotten better, but I feel like last year is where it really kind of clicked for me more, and, you know, since then I've just been continuing to build and build.
Why did it click more last year?
You know, I don't.
John's a psychologist, by the way. Just so you know, he'll ask the probing why questions.
I think the biggest thing for me was mindset of just, you know, obviously I was continuing to get more comfortable, but, you know, just playing more free, not worrying about anything else, not worrying about messing up, not going out there and playing to make plays instead of playing to not mess up, and, you know, getting Coach D. Will. You know, he's one guy that's really helped me out a lot with that. You know, he's an incredible coach, and, you know, he makes sure we're coached up. We're never comfortable. So, you know, he's one person that I really give a lot of credit to for helping me out a lot with that.
How different is Philadelphia from Laramie, Wyoming?
I mean, it's very different. Even from, you know, where I grew up in L.A., very different. But, you know, that's one thing is, for me, I've been really grateful for in my journey so far is being able to see different parts of the country, you know, getting, like I said, getting out of my comfort zone, from going from L.A. to Wyoming, which was way different, then to Minnesota, different, now Philly, which is even different. So that's been pretty cool for me.
When you're in Wyoming, coming from L.A., do you try to, like, take part in what the locals are doing? Like, to camera here, he's never fished.
Yeah, probably never will.
I'm assuming that everyone's, like, going out and fishing and hunting and doing all that stuff. Did you dabble in the outdoors?
You see, when I was there, I didn't really, but, you know, my wife is from Wyoming, so, you know, when we go back now, I think I appreciate it more now. I wish I would have appreciated more while I was going to school there, but I think I appreciate it more now when I go back and do those things with, you know, with her family. You know, I really enjoy it a lot.
It's hard to appreciate it when you're focused on school and getting ready to play football.
Yeah,
exactly.
Marcus, when did you know you had a shot to be an NFL player? I mean, was it sophomore year, junior year of college, senior year? When did that, like, come into vision? Like, I can probably do this.
You know, honestly, for me, it wasn't really ever any doubt. Like, you know, as crazy as it sound, you know, coming up through Pop Warner High School and college, that's just always been the goal. It was just – that was plan A, and there wasn't any plan B. I was just going to make it happen.
Wow.
So, you know, I always just put the work in and make sure I was putting myself in position to give myself that opportunity.
Very cool. Marcus Epps with us here. Marcus, you had two really accomplished safeties when you got here to the Eagles. Malcolm Jenkins, you were with him for half the year, joining the Eagles in November of 2019, and then Rodney McLeod the last, I guess, 3 years.
Yeah.
What did you learn from those guys?
Honestly, the biggest thing that I took away from them is just about being a leader through good and bad times. You know, the way they carried themselves and handled themselves through the ups and downs, I thought was incredible. No matter how we were doing, you know, like 2019, I mean, you know, we were, when I got there, we were kind of in that area where we had to win out to go to the playoffs.
After, I guess, that Miami game, right? That game in Miami where it all went crazy, and then you guys went on that run, the four-game stretch.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, no matter when times were up or down, and even last year, same thing with Rod. I mean, they always have that same mindset. No matter when things are good or bad, they're coming into work, they're leading people, they have a positive mindset. And they came to practice each and every day. And, you know, I really think that those are big reasons why we were able, both years, able to turn things around.
How would you describe your job in this defense? Like, what does a free safety do in this defense?
It's a lot of different things. Got to be versatile. Got to be able to play in the slot, tackle well, play two high, single high. But also, you know, you got to be really smart. You got to be able to get yourself lined up and get other people lined up as well. So, yeah, those are what I would say the biggest things. You got to be very reliable in doing your job.
What are you best at in doing your job?
You know, I don't know. I feel like I've been playing solid all around this year so far. Pretty happy with the way I've tackled in the open field. But, you know, I just got to keep on getting better with me. You know, every day, every game, I'm always looking at something I can continue to get better at, come to work every day.
So what, watching the game against the Commies, what do you feel like you need to improve on the most?
You know, honestly, it hasn't even been just that game, but even the first couple games is just making all the plays that come to you. You know, when I go out there, my mindset is to do my job and make the plays that come. So anytime something comes your way and you don't make the play, that's one I take those things to heart, and I just try to fix it and keep getting better for the next game.
When you're not watching film, how much game film would you say you watch during the week to get ready for a game?
A pretty good amount. I mean, you know, we got our meetings all day, and then every night when I come home, I'll watch some more once I put the kids to sleep. So, you know, preparation is huge for me mentally, especially. So I definitely make sure I'm mentally prepared for every game.
Marcus Epps with us right now. By the way, this segment sponsored by On Deck Small Business Loans. When you own a small business, sometimes you need funds fast. So go to OnDeck.com. That's OnDeck.com, America's largest online small business lender. On Deck makes it easy to apply in minutes. Apply for your loan today at OnDeck.com.
When you're not watching game film, what do you watch?
Right now I've been watching the new Game of Thrones, The House of the Dragon.
Yeah, I haven't started that yet. Is that good?
Like, what are you waiting for, Joe?
Well, you want the candid answer? I'm watching 10 different shows.
Yeah, you're watching shows you've already watched instead of the new up-and-coming show that's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, so I do have to get to it. But right now I'm watching The Crown. That's new. I mean, it's ongoing. I'm watching Curb. That's from years ago. I'm watching Mary Tyler Moore. That's from like 50 years ago. So, yes, there are some shows that I could discard, but I kind of like them all. I'm going to get to this new game. Is the new Game of Thrones as good as the original Game of Thrones?
I think it is.
Really?
Yeah, I like it a lot.
Well, that's a big endorsement.
Yeah.
That's a big endorsement.
It's pretty amazing. It's hard for me to say it's quite at the same level, but I don't know what I'm looking at. I mean, they just had a huge jump where they fast-forwarded 10 years, and I don't know who the people are.
Yeah, that's probably been the only thing that's been a little difficult to follow is the time jumps between each episode.
Yeah. Well, that's frustrating. And Marcus, that's with us. Marcus, this Eagles offense is cooking. I mean, you say it. You're preparing to go back on the field, but the Eagles offense is rolling. As a defender, now you dealt with them in training camp, but as a defender in a game, if you're on the opposing team, I mean, how hard is it going to be to stop this Eagles offense, man?
Oh, I mean, it's incredibly difficult. I mean, we dealt with them all camp. I mean, they just got so many weapons, and then you know, well coached, and Jalen's playing very well. So, you know, it's very, very difficult offense to stop.
I mean, he's dialed in.
Yeah, he is. I mean, it's no surprise here, no surprise for anyone on this team. We see how hard he works and how he's gotten better each and every year. So it's no surprise what he's doing right now to us.
215-592-9494 if you want to weigh in with Marcus Epps. Coming up, more with Marcus. He'll field some phone calls. Also, you'll hear Jalen Hurts' speech in the locker room after the game when the Birds got to 3-0, what Hurts said to his teammates, Marcus being one of them. We'll play that next. Rock all your calls. Joe DeCamera, John Ritchie, Marcus Epps with us on 94 WIP. So this one, you know, you got a pretty good producer. Notice I said pretty good. I didn't call James great. Slightly above average.
I love that they use this song for House of the Dragons, too. I love that this is the intro because this is inspiring, man. This gets me fired up.
It is a great song. Joe to camera, John Ritchie, Marcus Epps with us in studio. All right, let's rock a lot of calls. We'll get this segment to Jalen Hurts' message to the guys in the locker room after the game when the squad got to 3-0. We'll hit that shortly. Let's talk to Chris in Ocean City on with Marcus Epps right now. Hi, Chris.
Yeah, what's going on, guys?
Hi, Chris.
So just quick point just about watching last night. With how good that we are now, I have a renewed, passionate hatred for the Cowboys. I hate that team so much. Like, there was one part in the fourth quarter, they were showing Kellen Moore and Mike McCarthy on the screen, and I actually thought to myself, they might be unlovable. They're so ugly and so stupid, they might be unlovable.
Wow.
And I just cannot stand them.
Coming
in
hot.
When we play them, Marcus, we need to put up at least 40, and I want you to take one back to the house. I hate this team, and I need you to understand the depths to which I hate this team.
So you're putting him in a tough spot here, because the thing, Marcus, I'm just guessing, Chris, he's going to try to avoid, I think they call that bulletin board material, and he's probably been well-schooled by the coaching staff and the veterans to be careful with what he says when people talk about hatred and all. So that's just what's going through my mind right now. Chris, give me a great answer. Who or what is underappreciated?
Sure. So both a shot and an homage to you, my Jalen Hurts takes over the last 2 years.
Interesting. All right, Chris, you got it. The division thing, Mark. First off, I mean, John and I feel the division is, let's just say I'll be surprised if you guys don't win it. The rivalry factor, I mean, different in 2020. There's like no fans in the stands. Last year it gets cranked up again. Did you get the sense of that Eagles-Cowboys thing and how real it is for the town?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I mean, 2019, that was when I got the biggest feel of it, was that game. You know, I think it was week 16.
Yeah.
At home.
Amari Cooper was dropping the pass, and then he was asking out of the game. That whole thing was bizarre.
That game was – the atmosphere there was incredible.
17-9, something like that. Defense did its job that day.
Yeah, that was when I really like, okay, I see how this rivalry is. And,
yeah.
You know, it's pretty amazing.
The takeover by the fans in Washington, when you're on the field and you – I don't know what it was, 20, 30, 40,000 fans this past weekend, whatever it is. I mean, when you look up and see that much green, what are you thinking? And more importantly, I guess, how much of an advantage does that give you guys on the field when – there's that much noise when the opposing team offense is on the field in their home stadium?
Yeah, I mean, it was awesome. When I looked back from behind our bench, it was literally just almost – it was all taken over by Eagles fans. And
wild.
Like, definitely the whole – throughout the game hurt our fans more than theirs. So, you know, I think that was a huge advantage to us. And that was just amazing, a testament to these fans, how much they love football. They're passionate about Eagles football. So, you know, that was amazing.
Does it ever make it hard for you guys to communicate, you know, the noise when the opponent's offense is on the field? Does it make it difficult for you to get calls to, you know, the other guys in the secondary?
Yeah, definitely. That Monday night game, that crowd was very electric. I couldn't hear anything most of that game while we were on the field. So, that's how it's supposed to be. So that was awesome.
All right, let's talk to Dominic right now in Cherry Hill. Hi, Dominic.
Yo, guys, how's it going today?
Super.
Yo, Marcus, just want to say, man, keep balling. Love watching you play. You fly around out there and really lay some wood, man. I really appreciate what you do out there, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, of course, man. So with the Birds, and then I have a Phillies point, boys.
Sure.
The biggest thing with the Birds for me, I couldn't be happier. I'm so excited. I'm already looking forward to next Sunday. It's a great feeling right now. I'm only a little worried, just a little worried about Lane Johnson a little bit. And the only reason I say that is on more than a few replays, I've seen him a little bit get beat on his side, and he's someone I really like, and I still think he's solid. But I don't know if you guys noticed it, but that right side has gotten beat off the line quite a bit. After watching the game again yesterday, I saw it. I don't know if you guys saw the same thing I saw.
The Commanders' D line they're really good, you know, and they're getting paid too. That's a battle up there, and it's unreasonable to expect that we're going to win every battle. I was a little bit worried about Lane on the safety play. I felt like he
exactly.
Sort of hung Dallas Goedert out to dry. But I he's still an incredible right tackle. I mean, he is an all-pro right tackle. And I think we should all feel fortunate that his health has been better this year than it's been in previous years. He seems to be feeling pretty spry out there.
Dominic, I saw something on Twitter last night. I don't have it in front of me, but it was pretty astounding. He has not given up a sack in some huge amount of games, whatever
since
it was.
Since 2020.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, I mean, you're right tackle. You're dealing with a lot of edge rushers. You haven't given up a sack in a whole season plus. That's
we're definitely
good.
Again, we're nitpicking. We are nitpicking.
Yeah.
This team is really solid.
Dominic, give me an answer. Who or what is underappreciated?
Well, real quick with the Phils.
Oh, sure.
With the Harper talk, I really think that he does deserve it, only because I know he holds himself to a high standard. He makes that very clear. And the fact that those little things that he's making, those mistakes with the base running, that's something that I feel like he needs to hold himself accountable for.
I agree.
Like, it's, and I don't know if he's doing that.
Well, and the base running should have nothing to do with the elbow or the hand. I mean, you know, it has nothing to do with an elbow or hand. So, you know, just pull the base running together. All right, who or what's underappreciated?
All right, I'm going to stick with baseball on this one. I really think Brad Lidge is underappreciated, especially with how much we're looking for closers these days. What he did, unbelievable, man.
I don't agree with that answer, because I think he is totally, truly, properly appreciated. I mean, when we talk about the 08 Phillies, we talk about Brad Lidge.
I'm right there with you, Joe. He's as appreciated as he should be.
Yeah, I mean, who doesn't appreciate Brad Lidge?
Not a single person in this city.
The guy went 48 for 48.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, no, I think it's a bad answer. Brad Lidge, great. And by the way, great person also and great closer, but totally appreciated. To Scott in King of Prussia. Hi, Scott.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon.
Hey, Scott.
So a couple of Eagles points, and then I wanted to mention something about Harper. It's great to see Hurts is progression. He's doing things that we really weren't sure he was going to be able to do. The improvement in the defense from week one has been unbelievable. Maybe our guests could comment on that in a bit. Wide receivers, honestly, watching Brown – is like watching T.O. again.
Yeah, it is.
I don't know if anybody else feels
Scott,
like that.
Scott, you are like the 5,000th person to call our show and say that. So, yes, we all are with you on that. Listen, it doesn't mean he's going to end his career as one of the, you know, 5 to 10 best wide receivers of all time. But he's really good. He's got a shot to be a Hall of Famer. And that physical stature reminds you a lot of Terrell Owens. I mean, he's really good.
Yep. And then spinning to Smith – he really, last week, to see him go up and get it the way he did,
yeah.
I mean, those were like his college clips. And we haven't seen that yet. And, you know, to have those two in place is really, it's a great feeling.
It's tremendous.
I would like to see him, I'm not ready to call him a juggernaut like that other caller. I'd like to see them beat another good team before I even think about going there. But if our guest could comment, tell us why the defense is so improved over the past 2 weeks.
All right, Scott, we're going to get that answer. Give me who or what is underappreciated. What do you got?
All right. I think two of the three guests will agree with me here. Shannon Hoon, lead singer of Blind Melon from the 90s.
All right. Ooh, you got it.
Definitely agree.
Great answer.
Fair enough. Speaking of answers, Marcus, what happened with the week one not-so-great defensive performance and the week two and three totally dominant? What happened? What changed?
I think the biggest thing was just execution. Coming to practice, we were worried. After watching that Lions film, we felt like, you know, we had our chances to end that game, and you know, we didn't execute well. So, you know, coming back to practice, that was our main focus was it's about us. If we execute, we're going to play very well as a defense. So, you know, we just went back to work and really focus on everybody just executing their job, and that's what we've been doing the past 2 weeks.
I gotta tell you, man,
it was the tackling, though. When you talk about execution, yeah. I mean, the missed tackles were pretty egregious. And is that in part because you guys didn't practice tackling during training camp? And then how do you correct it so quickly when you just had one game under your belt?
Yeah, I mean, definitely I do think that was a huge point of emphasis, especially you know, in our DB room, our DB coach, he really prides himself on us tackling well, and it's something that, you know, as a back end, we pride ourselves on. So we knew, you know, week one that was unacceptable, and, you know, that's just how, you know, even in practice, even when you're not tackling, you can still work tackling, working your angles, making sure, you're finishing at the ball carrier in a good position to make that tackle in a game. So, you know, definitely we've been improved since week one in that aspect as well.
Marcus, the other thing that caller touched on was Jalen's development. He referenced since the start of the year, but I mean, really, it's from last year to this year. I mean, candidly, and anyone listening knows, I was not of the mindset that he would turn into this. I mean, blown away by his development. Did you see this coming? I mean, this is a massive leap. What do you see with him, and are you surprised, or do you think this is what you expected?
For me, this is honestly what I expected. I mean, he came out to California for a month and worked out with me at my training facility, and, you know, just seeing the way he works, the way he carries himself, the confidence he has talking to him, I mean, I just, you know, for me, it's somebody who really believes in hard work, and, you know, you're going to be rewarded for your hard work. I knew what he was going to come out and do this year because, you know, just he works so hard. He values football. He loves the game. So I knew he was going to come out.
This is quite the story. For those that don't know, Marcus has a gym that you run. You're the proprietor of the gym. So you are responsible for training Jalen Hurts this past offseason for a month. He's got the secret sauce at his gym.
Well, first off, do you charge him $35 a month to use the gym?
We're definitely not taking any credit for that. The dude puts so much work in, and he deserves all the credit for all the work.
What do you think makes him tick, Marcus? I mean, the narrative publicly that a lot of people go with is he's an Alabama quarterback. He gets benched. He ultimately transfers because they go to Tua. That motivates him. That fuels to this day the fire. And maybe that's a chunk of it, but it can't be all of it. Like, what makes him go?
You know, honestly, I can't really speak for him, but from me, I think that journey and the way he handled himself through that and how he's come out through that, I think that just proves his mindset, his mentality, and that he's really built for this. So, you know, it's, you know, even from afar in college, I really respected him and the way he went through that and came out from his journey, his ups and downs. So, you know, really respect him as a player and as a person.
Do you have other guys that come out and work at your gym? What, did you have multiple Eagles out there during the summer?
Yeah, so some of the DBs came out as well for a week, and, you know, we trained there together. So that was pretty cool as well.
Wow.
So very cool.
How often do you hang out with the DBs, you know, during the season, for example?
Yeah, we're actually a very, very tight-knit group. We, you know, we have DB dinners once a week, every week. So, you know, we're a really tight-knit group, and I think that's been carrying over to the field this year as well with the chemistry and things like that.
That's great, man. Once a week.
That's really great.
That's impressive.
Yeah, it's been a really fun group to work with.
Sirianni, I mean, he talks about the connectivity thing. That's there it is, right?
Yep, exactly. That's exactly it. I mean, if you're connected as a team, it's gonna show on the field as well.
See, that's different than John and I, because
we don't connect.
I mean, when I say we don't ever hang out, I mean, other than these baseball games we agree to go to a couple times a year, this dude hasn't even been in my apartment. I've invited him. James, how many years have I invited him to my apartment? 5 years?
Yeah, 5 years.
6 years. I mean, it's like, yeah. Is the guy ever going to come to my apartment?
Busy schedule. So do you know, are other groups, are other position groups meeting every week like you guys do? Or is that just unique to the DBs?
I'm not sure how often some of the other position groups get together. But, you know, I do know that the team as a whole is a very, very tight-knit group.
Huh.
So
that's great.
Good deal. Well, listen, part of it is, you know, Jalen Hurts leading the way, and he spoke the other day after the game. This is one of those private moments that's, you know, not so private because there's 5,000 cameras in there, and every Tuesday it seems like the Eagles release the information and say, here is a speech to the team. Marcus heard it live. Let's hear it now. After the 3-0 start and a dominant performance by both the offense and the defense, Jalen Hurts postgame in the locker room with the guys.
When you look yourself in the mirror as a man and you say, I'm going to control the things I can control, that's how you get better. That's how you get better. That's how you take steps. That's how you take steps. But AJ said this on the sideline, and I really feel like, okay, we got a good football team. We know when we control the things we can, we damn good. Damn good. But we got to go to work every day. We got to go to work every day to clean up this little that's holding us back so we can be who we meant to be. But now, we got to do it! I love y'all boys, man. We're a family, man. Family on three. One, two, three.
There it is. You know, Marcus, it hit me Sunday after the game listening to Jalen speak. Team's going to win Super Bowl. You don't have to say it. I'll say it. Team's going to win Super Bowl. Jalen's going to be post-game podium. He's going to say, you know, we haven't played our standard yet. wait till next year. Listen, Marcus, he is driving everybody, man. It's impressive.
Yeah, I mean, he's an incredible leader, and that's why we follow him. You could just hear it in that, and that's been the mantra of this team is, you know, we know how good we can be, but if we don't come into work every day, if we don't keep pushing, keep grinding to keep getting better, then, you know, we're not going to reach our ceiling. So.
Very cool, man. Let's go to the phones here. Let's talk to Rob right now in Glen Olden. Hi, Rob. You're on with Marcus Epps.
Yeah, what's up, gentlemen? What's up, Marcus? How you doing, buddy?
What's going on? How you doing?
Good. Listen, Marcus, all I ask from you, I think I speak for the fans of Philadelphia. The wins and losses, they come and go. All I ask from you or from anybody in any sport is love it as much as we love it and give it your all. If you do that, you'll be beloved here. And if any athlete, that's why I think you just talk about Harper with the base running. Joe, I give him a pass because I know ultimately what kind of player Harper is. You know what I mean? He leaves it all on the field. The guy plays hurt. And guys like that get a pass from me. So that's all I ask, and I think these guys agree, from any Philadelphia athlete is love as much as the fan loves it. Because you see how dedicated they are. They come, they spend
Well, largely I agree with you, Rob. But then there's the Donovan McNabb example, and it's like, why was Donovan so booed? Well, and I'm not talking about the draft. I'm talking about once he established himself as a great player. Yeah, he wasn't as good as Tom Brady and Peyton Manning.
Joe,
but he was really good, and a lot of people gave him a lot of grief. And that was a shame.
Joe, I agree. What was it? Five NFC championships?
Correct. Five NFC championship games.
I understand we lost four. We won one. But the thing is, nobody is ever going to matter. He's the greatest Philadelphia quarterback by far. And I agree with you, Joe. He's kind of my answer at the end, but we'll save that.
Oh, that's funny. Well, I'll write it down right now. So you got Donovan as
underappreciated. Absolutely.
Good
answer. Great answer, yeah.
It is.
He's absolutely underappreciated. I mean, the guy, sure, he's got his faults. But, I mean, unless you're the Lord himself, everybody's got faults. Everybody's got good points and bad points. The guy, I just don't get it. He's the greatest quarterback by far. But with the Eagles, this is our year to win it now, Joe. And this is what I'm going to say. We've seen it with Aaron Rodgers. We've seen it. I don't know. Did the Rams win a match after? I guess they did when he had the huge contract. But ultimately, when these guys get these massive deals, it cripples these franchises. Now, I'm not saying it's his fault because you get what the market tells you you're going to get. But this is the time when we got to take advantage of a rookie quarterback making what he's making.
Listen, you're right, Rob, because when the team won a Super Bowl in 2017, I mean, it was right there. Carson wasn't making much. Foles was a backup. When the Chiefs won with Mahomes, it was a small deal. Yep.
So the string of quarterbacks, you can think, once they get that money, granted, if somebody offers it to me, I'm going to take it.
Dude, look at Dallas. They're not the same team with Dak's contract. KC, they lost Tyreek Hill because of Mahomes' contract. I mean, listen, and Rob, good phone call. It's true. I mean, it is what it is. You have good players. You have a great quarterback. You're going to sign them. And it over time, strips away some of the talent around you. All right, Marcus, let's do John and I, from time to time, do five questions. We get a guest, and we say, all right, let's do some quick hitters here. Quick hitters with Marcus Epps in studio. Let's start with the NBA, which is about to start. LeBron, for years, has been the best player currently. I mean, Jordan over LeBron, but LeBron's been the best the last, 10, 12 years. Current NBA best player, is it still LeBron? Is it Steph? Is it Greek Freak? Is it Joel? Is it Durant? Best player in the NBA right now is?
That's a tough one. I'm going to just go with Embiid.
Good answer.
No, that's a bad answer. No.
Oh, wow.
Now I got to rip Marcus Epps to his face. That's a bad answer. Top five and top one are not the same thing. I mean, can the guy please finish a playoff, spring before we anoint him best in the world?
Sounds like he's going to be the best this year.
This year. That's a different deal. All right. John, question two, what do you got?
What's the best food you've had in Philly?
I'm coming from L.A. I love Mexican food, so I'm gonna go with. It's been a couple Mexican food trucks that I've tried out here that have been really good.
The truck.
I I forget the name of them, but they were
wow.
The
truck. That's a good truck.
Yeah. Well, that's an there adventure,
man. Special trucks.
Yeah. If you're going truck and you're straying away from that Eagles cafeteria, I don't know what you're doing, man. That cafeteria is really good.
Yeah,
I've eaten there once or twice. John had two full seasons there.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
All right. How about this one? Favorite athlete growing up, Marcus?
Troy Polamalu.
So he was great. Him, Dawk, and Ed Reed at the same time. I mean, that was an era for safeties.
Yeah,
and John Lynch, definitely. Who I think also made the Hall of Fame, right? Is that
Yeah.
So
did.
Because when those guys made it, and Dawk was the first one, I believe, first safety to make it since Ronnie Lott, and then you had four in the same era, which is pretty cool. Funniest Eagle, who is it?
Slay, but JB is a close second.
JB being
James Bradbury.
James Bradbury.
Really? So you got the two funniest guys on the team in your room?
Yeah, most definitely.
Well, I'd be going out to dinner every week too.
How about that?
Like a blast. Do you have pets?
I do not. Not right now.
Have you ever had pets?
I did. I was grew up with dogs.
What kind of dogs?
Last dog I had was a blue pit bull.
Wow, a blue one.
Yep.
That's pretty special.
Very cool. All right, last thing here, Marcus.
Joe's never had a dog.
No, and I never will. I mean, talk about something I have no interest in.
He's inhuman.
No, First off, I care about myself. I don't need to care about any, taking care of a dog. Yeah, right. If I want to go away on a weekend, like, I don't want to deal with, who's going to take care of the dog? You know, I got a stag. I got a dog. No interest in that.
Tough.
All right, Marcus, this sports radio thing. What do you think here, man? You enjoying this? Do you listen when you're not in here? Did you grow up listening with sports radio? Like, what's your feel on sports radio?
I definitely enjoy coming in here, talking with you guys. It's been a cool little deal. But when I'm outside, growing up, I listened to it, watched ESPN, did all that. But ever since I've gotten to the league, haven't really, when I'm out of the building, try to spend as much time, with my family and be present as I can.
So. Makes sense, man.
Wow.
Makes sense.
Hey, what do you normally do on a Tuesday when you're not in here talking to us? Your day off, what's your favorite thing?
So this year, my little man just started kindergarten, so drop him off at school in the morning, go get some treatment, make sure I'm recovering, then pick him up from school, and then from the rest of the day just hang out at the house with the family or take the kids to the park, something like that.
So do you throw the football with him?
When I can. He's
how do you deal with that? Like, it's hard to not push him into being what you are because you don't want to put that pressure on him.
Mm-hmm.
How often do you play sports with them, and what do you play?
That's been the funny thing is, so my son, who's almost six, Braxton, he's just been strictly dinosaurs, superheroes. And then my younger son, who's about a year and a half, he's just always like football, football, football. So it's funny, I end up doing some sports things with him more than the older one. But, like you said, I don't really want to – he's still very young. I don't really want to push him right now.
Makes sense.
Now's a great time to start with the form tackling, though.
Yeah.
I mean, he's low to the ground. He's going to have good leverage.
Yeah.
Make sure he doesn't get fined.
Yeah,
all right.
Exactly.
Marcus, congratulations on the family. Congratulations on the individual success as a player. Congratulations on the team success. And we wish you nothing but the best up ahead, man. Thank you for being in studio with us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. Appreciate you.
You got it. There he is, Eagles starting safety, Marcus Epps. Up ahead, more phone calls. Ross Tucker joins us as well. Joe Cameron, John Ritchie on WIP. Good old Blind Melon. Joe Cameron, John Ritchie, 94 WIP. All right, let's continue talking some Eagles football. You can wait on the Phils as well, which obviously has been a point of conversation. They start up a series tonight against the Cubs. 10 games to go. Got to lock it in. It's not locked in yet. All right, let's talk some Birds football. Our next guest, of course, from the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. You can follow his work at Ross Tucker NFL on Twitter. He's also brought to us by First Trust Bank, official bank of the Philadelphia Eagles, Mr. Ross Tucker. Hello, Ross.
Hello, Joe. How are you?
Good, buddy. I saw you try to take credit for the Eagles' success. Something about they hired the right analyst in preseason football and all hell Ross. Is that the argument?
Yeah, well, I mean, I didn't say that. It just seemed like on social media, a lot of people were saying that they think the Eagles' success this year can be directly related to giving me a multi-year contract extension.
So,
it seemed like that was one of the real key moves. It was, I think, that and then A.J. Brown, probably a little more important than,
probably.
Like, than Kaiser White.
I like
Brad
your style,
Berry.
Though, Ross. That's the kind of thing the Hammer would advocate. You know?
But I
like,
didn't say – I mean, Joe, it's just it's a lot of people are saying I'm
no, I'm playing around. All right, so, Ross, are you surprised they're – I mean, I am. This dominant?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, this is really – talk to me, man. How good are they? This has been outrageously impressive.
Well, listen, I'll tell you how good they are. Every Tuesday – on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, I have power rankings, and it kind of made me nervous to do it. But after three games, I go by what I've seen this year, like 99%, right? I'm done with the preconceived notions coming into the year. And I had the Eagles number one. I mean, I don't know who to put ahead of them right now. The Bills are really beat up. They lost Micah Hyde for the year. The Chiefs kind of have some of their own issues as well. I think right now, based on what we've seen, I think you can make a really strong argument, and I did, that the Philadelphia Eagles are the best team in football, which, by the way, means absolutely nothing. You know, I mean, it's nice, but it's September 27th, so it doesn't mean anything in terms of winning the Super Bowl. You know, people need to stay healthy. They got to play well when it counts, blah, blah, blah. But it's kind of unbelievable that we're only 3 weeks into this thing. And I legitimately think that from what I've seen so far, they're the best team in the NFL.
We're nitpicking today. You know, Ross, we're trying to figure out things that might crop up and you know, prevent this team from the promised land. If you had to, you know, ISO in on anything that you're a little bit worried about, what would it be?
It's a great question, John. And you know what I think is crazy about that question is if you remember, after week one, the concerns were the defense, of course, and the offensive line. You know, I let a bunch of guys come free.
Right.
And so what happened that game? Nobody came free, and the defense was really, really good. Last week, what did we talk about? Yeah, but the four-man rush, man. The four-man rush, they're just not getting there. And then what did the Eagles go out and do? 9 sacks, pretty much all basically four-man rush. It's almost like this team right now, guys, listens to Joe and John on the Midday Show and hears what our nitpicks are and then goes out to shut us up. It's unbelievable.
Well, Doug did it in 2017 when he finally ran the ball after the KC game, and then they won the Super Bowl. So it has been proven, Ross, that listening to our show is
right. Also had some pressure from the players.
Correct.
Remember, Zach Ertz even was saying
so I will – I'll give you two nitpicks.
Okay.
One is the scoring in the second half.
Yep.
And I don't care what they say, it still should not be no points in the second half, two games in a row, right?
Agreed.
Now, there's different, I think, reasons for that, including they don't do the no huddle as much in the second half when they have a lead, which is probably the right move, run more clock, but they still need to score some points in the second half of these games. And then penalties is still one for me. You know, they had penalties the first couple games. You forget about these penalties against Washington, but I don't, because I know I'm going to be on with you guys and I fill in for Angelo on Wednesdays. They had Josh Jobe, a rookie, on a punt return, just totally cracked back on someone and blindsided him and blasted him. You can't do that. That's an automatic 15-yard penalty. It's an illegal blindside block. Then when Washington attempts a field goal, Jordan Davis hits the long snapper. So on the one hand, you could say, oh, they're just rookies. On the other hand, I know the Eagles. I know for a fact the Eagles have refs at like every practice, and I don't know that there's a team that spends more time on penalties and preventing them than the Eagles, but those are two things those kids should know. Jobe should know you can't blindside block. Jordan Davis should know you can't hit the long snapper. I don't know if they just lost their mind or they weren't told those things. But if I'm going to nitpick, Joe, it's going to be penalties. Those are unacceptable penalties to me.
Ross, the 9 sacks, how much was good coverage? How much was good D-line? And how much was terrible Carson Wentz?
So I said on Twitter, at Ross Tucker NFL, when I watched the videos again, I would put 4 of them 100% on Carson Wentz, 100%. Now, the Eagles still were getting to him in about 3 seconds. But in the NFL, the ball has to be out by 3 seconds. Like, you got to throw it away, bro.
Like, well, especially if it's looking like your line's struggling. I mean, even more, you know, have a feel for the game.
He doesn't.
No, he sure doesn't.
I mean, that was one of my and I. It's funny because I got interviewed by the Washington Post yesterday. I said, "Listen, he's never going to learn." Like I've been watching this now for a long time. Like, this is just who he is, and you got to decide whether or not you're okay with it. Because what blows my mind away is you get sacked a couple times early. Okay, rather than speed up his clock and throw the ball away, the next three sacks were all him holding on to it.
No question.
Like, and then it's like, oh, man, I've been sacked four times already. This isn't good. Maybe I should try to extend the play and be loose with the ball. Like, the logic there is just mind-boggling.
Yeah.
And it was really nice for him to be on the other team and not doing that for the Eagles. But they do have really good coverage for the most part. Although I will say this. Washington bailed the Eagles. They like Dotson dropped an easy one.
Sure did.
McLaurin dropped one. So they had some uncharacteristic drops, which hurt Wentz as well. But I would say probably four are on Wentz. The rest, I'll give a lot of credit to the D-line. And obviously, I mean, the coverage must have been pretty good because he wasn't throwing it to anybody.
Yeah. Russ, let's take on the Wentz thing a little deeper here. Next 3 months this season for him in Washington, next season wherever he is, what happens?
He's probably the starter for Washington this year as long as they are still in the mix, meaning until they kind of give up on the year. Then I wonder if Ron Rivera puts Sam Howell in, the fifth-round pick from North Carolina, who people before the year thought was going to be a first-round pick, and sees what he can do. But I don't envision a scenario, unless he improves tremendously, which I doubt, that Wentz comes back as their starter next year. Because it's almost like at that point, what are you trying to do?
Yeah, what's
like,
the point?
You know what? He's in a no man's land where he's always going to be better than five starters in the NFL, but he's always going to be worse than probably like 20. I think Carson's going to be in 20 to 27-ville for the rest of his career.
Which means starter. You think he remains a starter? Because I got to tell you,
No, I don't. Here's why.
Okay.
Because teams are going to decide we don't want to sign up for that. Like, we know he's the 24th best guy. We know he's better than what we have, but we'd rather go with a young guy and see if they can get better or improve.
Makes sense. All right, more with Ross up ahead. We'll rock all the calls on the Birds, on the Phils. If you want to weigh in on the 76ers as well, the immediate day yesterday, training camp starts today. It's all on the table. Joe DeCamera, John Ritchie, Ross with us on 94 WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.